This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 8, Episode 48, minimum 52 episodes ordered this year, courtesy of Hooters. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, to find the location nearest you, visit originalhooters.com. Remember, it's the 40-year anniversary of Hooters. They celebrate on the 4th of each month with throwback events, including 83-cent wings and other great specials. Every day, not just on the 4th of every month, $6 drinks all day. Every day at Hooters. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, recording the morning of Tuesday, December 5th after, wow, a point explosion from a game that eventually used two backup quarterbacks. So if you had Bengals and Jaguars going, as long as it wasn't Trevor Lawrence, although Trevor did some things before he became the latest quarterback injury of the 2023 season, you did well with fantasy on Monday night. We're going to look at all of the Week 13 numbers in terms of the top performers coming up here in just a moment. Email write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com for your personal fantasy questions. I would imagine for many of you, this may be coming up the last week of your regular season. This week coming up is the first week of the postseason in the Fantasy Football Foundation. And then there's now 3 weeks left in the total points format for both podcast leagues. In the League of Champions, top three right now, Morgan, Kevin, Chris. Not saying it's going to be one of those three, but they have maintained an edge over the other owners recently. Likely comes down to one of those three. Going to be hard, unlike in the college football playoff where 7 and 8 jumped up into the top four. One I saw coming, one I didn't. I had Alabama in, I didn't have Texas in. If you listen to the Todd Wright Toddcast, you know. So the League of Champions, Morgan defending champ with Kevin and Chris in close pursuit. In the unnamed podcast league, the general manager of Bill Curry 4 trying to avoid writing a second check for $1,000 leads that league just ahead of Andrew, who of course had his team drafted by Doc, a two-time Jimmy McGinty trophy winner from the foundation. And who is third in that league? Why can't I remember that? I just looked at it too. That still has a, might be Greg. Let's take a look. Greg Todd Wright Tour captain, who I just saw this weekend at sold out Todd Wright Tour. 44. Yeah, Greg. That's the top three in that podcast league. Then back to Ira and Bengal Ralph and me, etc. In the foundation, the great Dave Wirth, longtime sports and news anchor at Channel 10 in Tampa Bay, and I have the buys in the first round of the foundation playoffs with Doc, who drafted Andrew DeWitt's team for the podcast league as a surrogate. Jared, also a former Jimmy McGinty trophy winner, Doc's 1-2. And then Joey, who's 1-1, and his wife Tara, all in the playoffs in the foundation as we play that league head-to-head. So, let's look at the top performers from Week 13 for some talking points, knowing that we had a handful of buys. There are a couple of buys in Week 14. Very, very, very late buy. So let's pop up all players week 13. Go to fantasy points. Debo. This is like 2 years ago. Even with McCaffrey on the field, and the Niners essentially at full strength offensively, Debo, 3 touchdowns. Wow. In the Niners' victory at the Eagles. Boy, the Eagles are not. When they are underdogs, the odds makers know. That's that Corso phrase. Somebody knows something, and I don't know what they know, but I'm with the somebodies. I expected better from the Eagles in that one. I'm wondering if the Eagles are just a little exhausted. They've been so good in every game. I mean, winning. Even their fans have said in the wins, they'd only lost the Jets prior to that loss to the Niners. Now they got to go to Dallas. And if the Eagles lose to Dallas, the Eagles may not win the division, let alone get the first round bye in the NFC playoffs. A lot at stake Sunday with Cowboys and Eagles at Jerry World. But Debo was overall number one. Number two was also a wide receiver, was DK Metcalf, who went off against the Cowboys, and Darren Bland, Deron Bland, on Thursday Night Football. So there were wide receiver one, wide receiver two were your overall top performers in my 21st century standard scoring settings. Geno Smith was QB1. He hadn't got the ball to DK like that all year. Take it from me as a Metcalf owner who traded him to Drew Garabo and John Senning for Michael Pittman, who's had high volume since the trade. Geno was QB1. Brock Purdy was QB2. So the Seahawks and the Niners produced the top four fantasy players, according to my scoring settings, from week 13. Then Tyreek Hill, 5 for 157 and 2. Boy, he makes it look easy. Man. Dak Prescott was QB3 with his 299 passing, 3 touchdowns, added 23 yards rushing in the win against Seattle on Thursday night. Nico Collins, especially with Tank Dell going down, adjust your rosters accordingly there. Nico Collins, wide receiver, 4 for the week. We don't have a running back yet. Nico was 9 for 191 and a touch. There's the top running back in Derrick Henry and some questions about his availability going forward as he ended up in the tent. Conflicting reports about whether or not he was in protocol that I saw on Monday, but Henry was RB1 for week 13, 2 touchdowns and 120 yards of tandem. Joe Mixon was RB2. And that helped Dave beat me for the Governor's Cup in the foundation with Mixon's 2 touchdowns on top of 117 yards. Touched the ball 25 times in that Bengals victory against the Jags. Trevor Lawrence, 258 and 2, and a rushing touchdown before the injury. Early report is that Lawrence avoided a season-ending ankle injury, according to an NFL Network source. That as of 10:31 a.m. on Tuesday morning. I'm sure by the time you hear this podcast, you may know more. This podcast is being recorded literally minutes after that report. Jake Browning. Yeah, where'd that come from? Jake Browning might have made a lot of money on Monday night. Not sure when his contract is up or what have you. But we all see how many teams don't have capable quarterbacks. Jake Browning off that game may be some team's starting quarterback next year or the year after that. Alvin Kamara bubbles up as RB3 109 yards of tandem offense, two touchdowns in the Saints' loss to the Lions. Funny how Saints fans thought throwing all that money at Derek Carr would solve their quarterback problems. Nope. I had that one right. James Conner, welcome back. 105 and two touchdowns and on my bench. And I claimed him on waivers in the podcast league. Didn't play him. Chuba Hubbard claimed on waivers by my opponent Dave in the foundation. He cranks out 104 and two touchdowns against the Buccaneers in a losing effort for Carolina. By the way, did Carolina change the color blue in the uniforms they wore, the monochromatic? Or was that just the rain making them look like a darker blue? Devon Achane, also on my bench. 103 yards of tandem offense, two touchdowns on my bench in the podcast league. Mike Evans, now 32 points shy of being the Bucs' all-time leading scorer. 7 for 162 and a touch in Tampa Bay's win. Then Jalen Hurts after that. Then Jordan Love, who's had a handful of good games in a row here and is on both of my teams going forward. And the podcast league is probably not going to matter. But with Joe Burrow going down, I found Love on waivers, and he's now my playoff quarterback going forward and has some matchups that don't look too bad for my playoffs. Love with three touchdowns and 267 yards in the win against Kansas City. I'm backing him up with Matt Stafford, who's had a couple good games in a row. 279 and 3 for Stafford against the Rams. He threw 4 the previous week. Then Jamar Chase, even with Jake Browning. 11 for 149 and 1. CeeDee Lamb, who's been getting it done ever since the Cowboys changed their offensive philosophy early in the season. Cowboys throw the ball 10 yards or more down the field more often than just about any team in football. That's what's going on in Dallas. That's also why when they get within 10 yards of the goal line, they struggle. One thing Ezekiel Elliott did very well last year, bang. You need to get 2 yards for a first down, or you need to get 2 yards and get in the end zone, bang. Zeke got it done. Pollard can't do that. Christian Watson was next. He hurt his hamstring later after his two touchdowns from Jordan Love. Sam Laporta, who's been one of the top 5 tight ends in fantasy football this year, 140 and a touch. Puka Nacua, before his injury, touched the ball 6 times for 139 yards and a touchdown for the Rams. And then Christian McCaffrey, what an off game for McCaffrey. He was overall number 25 with 133 yards of tandem offense on 20 touchdowns and a touchdown. That just shows how good that guy is. I'm going to leave it there because I'm going to give you another one later this week where we look at some game action, maybe updated injury factors, etc. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com for your personal fantasy questions as you get ready for the playoffs, as you fight to get in, get a first round bye, or are starting the playoffs this week as we are in the foundation. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thanks for listening, everybody.